All right. Welcome back to Calling Bank. We are another week in the bubble, but we're 2 weeks away from the start of the NBA season. I've got Will joining me as always.
Hi, everyone.
Thanks for the delay, Will. And we've got Luke. We've done Luke Walton. We've done Luke Kennard. Are there any other Lukes in the NBA?
We're not going to go NRL and
Luke and Bamuto.
Yeah, okay.
Different spelling, but still.
Who's he play for now?
Houston.
Houston. He's back at Houston. He did get traded to the Clippers and whatever.
He no longer exists. Yes.
Guys, there's 2 weeks till the NBA is officially back on. 2 weeks yesterday, in fact, and it's very exciting. But there's something that's less exciting about the bubble, besides the fact that there's the hotline, where Dwight Howard has been reported to twice, because he went to a party by himself, a pool party by himself, and didn't wear his mask. Jimmy Butler's been reported for loud dribbling. Banging on the floorboards. Will, you had that problem, didn't you?
We did have a problem.
It was lots of bouncing of balls.
Yeah, Will's been dribbling from his mouth as well.
Yes. He's got it all going on. But with all the absences, we know Eric Bledsoe's just tested positive. James Harden had COVID. Russell Westbrook had COVID. Michael Beasley had COVID, which is a huge loss for the Brooklyn Nets. And that takes us into the worst teams in the bubble. These are teams that are here that we don't really know why. Because at this point, they should just go home with their loved ones.
Yes.
So, Will, do you want to take us through the first team that you think is absolutely trash that is playing for a playoff spot?
So Harry, I think we're going to start with the worst team
in
the bubble. The worst team in the bubble, by far, is the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
And if you look at their starting lineup, and obviously now with Michael Beasley, hot off the press, not going to be...
Late breaking news,
not going to be joining them in the bubble. Their starting lineup looks like this. Point guard, Jamal Crawford. The 41-year-old Jamal Crawford.
So, it's a question that I have later. You know what he was averaging last season for the Suns, besides his 50-point game?
12.
8.5 points per game. And he was playing 20 minutes a game.
Mm.
So, Jamal Crawford is your starting point guard. Caris LeVert at shooting guard.
Who's the best player on the team?
Joe Harris, small forward, who's a three and not much.
Three
and
no do.
Justin Anderson, who most of you probably have never heard of.
You think you have, because he's got a name that, you know.
He should.
Justin Anderson.
There's Ryan Anderson, there's Carl Anderson.
But there's a lot of Andersons.
This is Justin Anderson.
No relation.
The former Maverick and 76er himself.
and Raptors 905 G League player.
Of course. And then Jared Allen.
Who's quite good.
So, really, three of the guys are NBA players. One hasn't played this year, and Justin Anderson, let's not talk about. So, that is the worst team, in my opinion.
Interesting.
I could see this team losing every game.
Yeah. Can I just say what's interesting about them is that they've got a playoff spot in the East. There are currently six teams vying for a playoff spot in the West, and ironically, on our list, only one of the teams is from the West.
Yeah.
The rest are all East teams. For me, personally, sell the team, Dolan. Sell the team. Like, I think they should just tank. There's no point in them getting a playoff spot just to be swept. Yeah, maybe it's good for the development for Caris LeVert, sure.
Jamal Crawford's development at age 38.
He's 40.
Sorry, 40, in fact.
40, as he said, is just 20 plus 20. He's a maths guy. What can I say?
That's quick maths.
But I just think there's no point in them playing. The team's also going to be completely different next season when Kyrie and KD come back.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. I get that from the Nets perspective, but if I think about it from the league perspective, I think there is some incentive to have more teams there, right? To kind of give it this semblance of we're not just going straight into playoffs. In reality, yes, of course. If the Nets are there, it's going to be like a training game for whoever plays against
Correct.
Them, realistically.
Mm. The thing is, though, we say tank, but if you look at the other bad team in this top three worst teams, they're going to make playoffs. Because the other team, I could also imagine not winning a game, maybe one, against the Nets. So, really, they're not going to catch up because they're 5.5 games
they're
behind.
They're 7 at the moment.
Or Nets? Seven.
They're 7th?
Yeah, exactly.
So they'll become 8th seed and the Wizards will still be... Like, no matter what the Nets do, even if they lose every game by one or two, I mean, they probably play the Suns one, so who cares?
I mean, the Wizards have to literally win... they have to win... They have to go 5.5 games...
I think we'll be pleasantly surprised. I reckon they'll win a couple of games. Just because if you look at their roster, besides Spencer Dinwiddie, most of the players that aren't playing generally weren't playing. Besides DeAndre Jordan, who really isn't that much of a game changer. Wilson Chandler played parts of games. I think he played like 25 games this season. But the rest of the team were already injured. KD was injured. Kyrie was injured. No one cares about Nick Claxton. You know what I mean?
Nick Claxton cares about Nick Claxton.
As we were saying before, this has no defense. This is they'll try and score 160 on you. They'll probably concede 170.
Yeah, but with Spencer Dinwiddie and with DeAndre Jordan, do they have more defense?
Yes. Yeah, with DeAndre Jordan they do. Well, more with Jared Allen, unless they can just play DeAndre Jordan at power forward.
Absolutely.
They're not playing DeAndre Jordan at power forward.
Well, that's what I mean, but like, you have Allen or Jordan on the court, right? So they're both decent defenders.
I'm sorry, you'd start Dinwiddie over Jamal Crawford. There is no doubt in my
mind. Oh, no, no, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. Dinwiddie, I'm saying defensively, is there that much of a difference?
Yes, I think Jamal Crawford is 40.
Yeah, but he's in great shape.
But he was not a good defender when he was with the Clippers.
No, he's never been a defender.
No. Correct. Full stop. They're scoring 170 points a game. They're doing what the Wizards have done all year. No defense. Just let him score. Let him score in twos. We score in threes. Simple game plan.
Yeah. I think...
Also, you've forgotten Nick Claxton is out.
I said he's out.
That's his second mention on the pod.
Which is more mentions than he's ever had on any podcast ever.
We're talking about him more than Kevin Durant.
So. I'm sorry, Nicholas.
I mean, no Torian Prince either.
True.
Also very old and has been inconsistent the whole season.
He's young.
Torian Prince.
24, 25.
No way. He's Torian Prince.
Yeah.
Because he had like 2 good years in Atlanta. I'm like, oh, he's
going
to...
That was his 2 years.
Yeah, that was his first 2 years.
What happened after? He's just gone off a cliff. This season...
he's good.
He wasn't good this season.
He's okay. The point is...
Anyway.
I think this team loses every
game. Okay. Yeah, I tend to agree with that. All right. Should we go on to the only team from the West?
That I think is wasting their time?
I think... Well,
so sorry,
okay.
You think this team's really bad now, or you think they're always wasting their time?
No, I think they're now...
Let's just name the team first.
Sure. I'm talking about the San Antonio Spurs.
Which is ironic because the Suns are 6 games out as well and no chance of making playoffs.
But their team on paper is basically the same team they...
But to your point about wasting their time, Harry's right. Like, teams who are already way back are wasting their time.
Sure, but I didn't make this the top four worst rosters. I went top three only.
Well, you set the parameters.
I set the parameters of top three. This makes top three
for
me.
Yeah, the Suns don't have a terrible roster besides Kelly Oubre being injured.
Correct.
But I think...
This is a bigger loss.
Yeah.
The loss is Aldridge is out. So Aldridge isn't playing, so you've basically got a starting lineup of Deontay Murray, Bryn Forbes, DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, and Trey Lyles.
Wait, who normally starts at centre for them? It's not LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus Podl?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe Lyles starts and then Aldridge plays power forward and Gay comes off the bench.
Gay does come off the bench.
That's right.
I think what we're forgetting is that they've got Pop and also it's like, who cares with the Spurs? Quite frankly, like it's been, 22 seasons? I mean, I love Patty, don't get me wrong, but I think with them and the Suns, I'm just like, why are you there? There's literally no chance you make the playoffs.
Because they've got to give the Spurs a chance. Harry.
No, they have to give the Wizards a chance. They're literally the only reason the Spurs and the Suns are in this bubble is because of the Wizards.
It's because we like to see Booker.
No, it's because of the Wizards.
The people want to see Trey Lyles.
They want to see
Pop.
Look, for me, this team again, and the issue with the Spurs this year is defensively... terrible. Yeah. DeMar DeRozan, a small forward, is not going to help you. Trey Lyles at centre is not going to help you.
Derek White's a good defender.
And he's not even...
So is Brian
DeJounte Murray's a great defender.
Yeah, so is DeJounte Murray.
So they're good in the backcourt, but DeMar DeRozan, a small forward, is going to get eaten alive.
Yeah, but there's no really dominant
Rudy
front
Gay
court
is
in
not
the
known
West.
As a defender.
Name one dominant front court in the West.
I agree.
Name one.
Look at him go.
I agree. Have you ever heard of Nurkic?
Or the Clippers... Or the Lakers, Denver.
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But
not Houston, Harry. They'll match up well against Houston.
I think we're actually also forgetting how much of a cliff, and I'm saying a lot of cliffs. There's been a lot of cliffs in this episode, but the Phoenix Suns started the season really well, but their team was absolute filth after the first 10 games. And missing Kelly Oubre is a huge loss. He was one of their glue guys this season. He was their second option in scoring. You had Booker and then him. I really don't think that Devin Booker and Rubio and DeAndre Ayton are going to win pretty much
anything. That's better than that team.
I'm not saying it's not better.
And Saric. And Mikal Bridges.
Saric has been absolutely terrible. Baines was good initially, then he got injured, and now he's been less good.
He can shoot the three now.
He can shoot the three. He's a 3-and-D man.
Aaron Baines at the beginning of the season, I was like, he's an all-star, guys. He was fantastic. And then he got injured. He was out for like 10, 15 games.
He broke Curry's hand. He did his job.
I know. He did a classic Zaza Pachulia.
Yeah. just break someone who's good.
I mean, I think it's really good for this the Golden State. I mean, it's never good for injuries to happen, but the fact that Golden State aren't in the bubble that have the number one pick, like when Giannis goes,
they have a 14% chance.
When Giannis goes to the Golden State Warriors in 2021, like it's all over for the league again.
You heard it here first.
That's all I'm saying.
This is hot off the press.
That's really hot.
Let's go through the third worst team.
I can't believe this is the third worst team.
Do you think it should be better or worse?
They're the worst team.
Okay, I don't know.
Name one player here that's better than Caris LeVert. Okay, we're talking about the Washington Wizards, just to clarify. Name one player that's better than Jared Allen or Caris LeVert.
This is probably the worst team. This is probably the worst team. So, the Washington Wizards, are lining their lineup with no Bradley Beal, no John Wall, and no Bertans.
Bertans is actually an underrated, very good player in that team.
Do you think he's underrated? I think he's getting a lot of hype.
Correct.
He's going to get a 2016 contract this offseason.
He's going to get a big contract.
Thomas Bryant is out. Gary Payton II is also out.
Thomas Bryant's out?
Yeah. He's positive COVID. Their starting team is Ish Smith, Troy Brown Jr., Isaac Bonga.
He was fourth string for the Lakers last season.
Rui Hachimura. Which is their best player in this starting lineup, and Ian Mahinmi.
Who was good in 2014 with the Pacers.
Correct, 2014 with the Pacers. But yes. So, thoughts?
Luke.
What is there to say? No, I mean, interested by these positive COVID tests as well, because I think that there have been a few guys that haven't come into the bubble because they've had COVID. Mm. My understanding is if they have it now, they could potentially still join the bubble. Obviously, they'd be super unfit.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the point in them joining. And I'm not saying, look, Thomas Bryant joins, the Wizards are going all the way this year.
No doubt.
This is the game changer. But really, like,
I do without, like Thomas Bryant.
Yeah,
he's a 10 and 10 player.
He's on that team, like, he's
all. He starts. He's the all-star on that team.
Exactly.
Well, Hachimura.
Yeah, but he's a rookie.
The Japanese all-star.
I mean, yeah. So I agree. I think maybe this team is, like, sort of, if you can humor me here for a minute, their base is slightly better than the Nets if you look at their across the average, but obviously their best players are way worse than the Nets' best players.
And I think that's the difference. Mm. Like, I think at the end of the day, which of those players is getting 20 points a game?
Hachimura.
Shut up. Sorry.
He might take 40 shots a game.
Exactly.
Yeah, he might take.
There is actually no one else.
He'll do a Bradley Beal, averaging 30 points per game.
And Ish Smith is a rotational piece in the
NBA.
He's
a good passer.
You know, Bradley Beal averaged 30.1 points per game this season and wasn't an all-star. He's the highest points per game player to not be an all-star in this season.
Do you have any more fun facts for us?
No, it just makes me sad. I just want him to leave the Wizards. Can I just say with the Wizards, at the beginning of the season, when we spoke about them, we said how bad they were going to be. We're like, honestly, they're going to rely too much on Bradley Beal, and they managed to get the ninth seed. Granted, the East is absolute trash, but you thought Chicago would be better. You thought Atlanta would be better.
Yep.
This is the team I always thought would happen for the Wizards. Like, absolutely no depth. Like, who's coming off their bench? Mo Wagner?
Yes.
He could start for this.
Yes, now.
Yes, he will.
I think their team is so bad.
Yeah, of course, but like, I mean, I think it's tough sometimes to get slightly off topic here. In the NBA, it is tough to build through the draft without being consistently bad for a number of years. And when you've still got John Wall and Bradley Beal, you're not committed to be bad. So to your point, they'd be better off getting rid of these guys, being absolutely terrible for like 3 years, and then maybe being better.
Mm. Well, that's what I think. I think a trade should happen with Bradley Beal. I think he's also not going to want to particularly share the spotlight with John Wall when John Wall comes back. Because keep in mind, John Wall hasn't played since, 2012, when he was drafted because of his knees. Like, when he does come back, he says he's in full health. But, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? He won't have the explosiveness he used to have.
He's getting $36 million a year, though, to play with John Wall. I don't think he's upset about that.
Yeah, but if a team could
absorb John Wall's getting $45 million a year to play with John Wall as well.
This is true. Yeah, I mean, but like I said, you need to tear that team down and start again. It's just not good enough.
Yeah, there's rumors that they're going to trade Bradley Beal to the Nets, but I mean, you'd have to gut the entire Nets.
Literally for what? For Justin Anderson.
Caris LeVert.
It'd be Caris LeVert and the entire team.
Give me your entire starting five.
How can we make up $36 million with everyone we're playing?
Probably that starting five. That's probably it.
All right, so we've got some big questions. Like, we've spoken enough about the bubble. We know who's gonna be championship. We know that, just quickly, Rondo has broken his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just really quick on that, do you think it makes a difference to the Lakers' chances with Rondo being out?
Depends if we were gonna see playoff Rondo again.
Yeah.
Mm. And regular season,
no points.
Correct. Regular season Rondo was okay. Still a net negative. On the field.
Net negative?
Negative.
You think, well, he was, mean, Caruso's going to be starting now, man.
Like, well, Rondo, like, Rondo was also essentially the third string point guard. Because Caruso was, I mean, he's a shooting guard, essentially.
And now you've not got Bradley and you've not got Rondo.
I know, so, and I think that's the difference.
You've got Caruso, who's going to be...
J.R. Smith, Caruso, man. Dion Waiters.
Come on, dude.
I mean...
If Caruso is probably one of your starting guards.
And also, the former gun, Quinn Cook.
Quinn Cook, I think, gets more minutes. He also has playoff experience. I actually rate Quinn Cook quite highly. I think he is quite good.
He was good in the playoffs for the Warriors.
He could be like a 10-5 player. That's all you need from him.
Correct. That's,
I think,
with a bit more defense than what Rondo's been showing.
I think Rondo makes a big impact in terms of leadership for the second unit. Essentially means that for the second unit, besides the fact that LeBron and AD are probably playing 40 minutes minimum per game in the playoffs, when they're off for those 2-minute stints... Who's going to run that second unit?
Wow, yeah.
We have 2 minutes where we're stuffed.
We're
going
to go up and down the court like 3 times. Who's going
to run it? 24 seconds.
Yeah. I think Frank Vogel's play will be just foul them, take up the time, wait till there's 2 seconds left in the shot clock, and just hack whoever's there. Hack a Shaq.
Yeah.
We'll find the worst free throw who happens to be LeBron. Just hack LeBron. It's fine.
But in all honesty, no, I don't think he's going to be a huge difference. But, I mean, it's always nice to have. Would you rather have him? Probably. Is he going to make a difference whether you win or not? Probably not.
I think this is what we forget in playoffs as well. Essentially, you have 7 players on the team and you have an 8th person that comes in for a 5-minute stint. Mm. You have your starters playing 40 minutes a game. Like, Rondo's getting 10 minutes a game.
Yep,
maybe exactly. 15. And we'll get a bit more to the Lakers later because, of course, I had to write a question about it. But I've got some big questions that I thought we could discuss, which are a bit different to the bubble questions.
No more bubble.
Who do we think is the most important player on the 3 championship teams? So, realistically, a lot of people have said, and we'll speak about this in a little bit as well, the Clippers, the Lakers, and the Bucks, they're the 3 teams that a lot of people have been speaking about as the big teams that could make a really big chance for the playoffs. They're also the 3 highest, like, playoff odds on sports bet and whatever. Not that we condone gambling, but if you're going to dabble...
We're going to have to get sponsored with this bit.
Yeah, we are. Sports bet. Where you need to go for your gambling addiction needs.
Yeah, hey, we can't do this for free. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, sports bet.
Just call me. My number is 0487-871-617. Don't know whose number that is, but I hope people call it up.
It's Harry's number.
It is my number now. It's how I get on Hinge. all right, so 3 teams. We've got the Clippers, we've got the Lakers, and the Bucks. I've chosen my 3, but let's start off with the Clippers. Who do we think is the most important player? And I want to put a caveat on this. We're not saying Giannis, Kawhi, or LeBron.
Sure.
This is obvious choices.
Outside of the obvious guys.
Outside of the obvious, like... Even Paul George, I think, actually
talking about the big...
No, I think Paul George. Because if you look at those 3 teams, it's LeBron, Kawhi, and Giannis that are obviously the biggest impact players.
Yes.
I don't know necessarily if Paul George or Anthony Davis are the most important players underneath that. I think it's actually the glue guys that I think will make a big difference, which is ironic because of the players I've picked. But who do we think from the Clippers?
Okay, so personally, my view on the Clippers is, outside of Kawhi,
it's
Pat Beverley. And I'm going to tell you why Pat Beverley. Because he is the defensive fulcrum of that team. And they're going to win through their defense.
Well, it's the same way last year they took the Warriors to 6. Pat Beverley on KD was obscene.
Pat Beverley is a key man in that team. Obviously, he's backed up by Reggie Jackson, which is not a bad backup to have. But if he stays healthy... I think defensively they're going to be very, very hard to beat.
Yeah, I think with the Clippers, and this is some more late-breaking news, and you only get it here first on Calling Bank. So you should know that Montrezl Harrell has left the bubble.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say him, because I think he's huge coming off the bench for them. I know Lou Williams gives them a lot of points, obviously, as well, but in terms of a bigger guy that comes off the bench and gets a lot of points and rebounds, they don't have him now, at least for
the start of the bubble.
It's a family emergency of some nature.
So is Zion as well.
Yeah, so this is what I was going to say. I think as well, it's a bigger theme there of like, if these guys' families get coronavirus or something like that, what's going to happen? Obviously, a lot of unknowns. I think it hurts him a lot. I think in his absence, my point would probably be that, Pat Bev, I fully agree. Yeah.
I think Montrez leaving is the biggest loss for the Clippers in the sense that where's their height coming from? You've got Zubac. That's it. That's itch. Zubac is itch.
Yeah.
Get in Marcin Gortat again.
But I think that's the really big issue. And we'll get there with who I think the most important player on the Lakers is. But in terms of, for me, it's always sweet Lou Williams. I think at the end of the day, Pat Bev obviously is huge. But if you need someone just to get buckets, if Paul George is off, if Kawhi is off, you need Lou Williams, especially if Montrez isn't there. Mm-hmm. If you look at their final lineup when they're playing in the last minute, who's taking that last shot? Yeah, it's probably Kawhi. But like, I would trust Lou Will with the ball as well. He's 18.6 points per game, 5.7 assists. I think that's a big factor for Lou Will as well. Their team is not a pass-first team. They're not like high in assists, right?
No.
If you need someone to pass the ball, Lou Will is a very good facilitator. But in terms of losing Montrez, this is where for the Lakers, the biggest impact they have, for me, is Dwight Howard. Lakers will win based on height. You have Dwight... I was going to say Kobe, but he's definitely not playing. LeBron and Anthony Davis. I think that's a really big defensive team. I think that's a really tall team. You look at the Clippers, who's marking that?
Like, Zubac.
If Harold doesn't come back, they're going to struggle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Even Marcus Morris isn't as good as he used to be. And West Ham's the worst.
He's not as good as he was as of 3 months ago.
More even that as well.
No, he was getting into it was the fine. Team. He's a good player.
And he's obviously cancelled out by Markieff Morris.
Exactly. I think the issue is with the Clippers is like they just can't defend the height. So what are they going to do in the paint? Pat Bev's screwed in the paint. So for me, if you look about the Lakers getting it out of the West, because I think for me, if they can beat the Clippers, yeah, it'll be hard. But I think they've got a better chance against the Bucks than the Clippers do. And I think... Dwight Howard is huge in that sense. 7.5 points per game, 7.4. And if you look at a final lineup, they probably go a bit smaller. They probably finish off with KCP, Danny Green, Alex Caruso, and LeBron and AD, which is actually their best plus minus lineup. Sorry, Kyle Kuzma and Dwight Howard. But in terms of like really stuffing them in the paint, I think Dwight is huge in that because JaVale McGee never plays many minutes in the playoffs.
Because he's got the asthma thing.
And that's the thing, they're a really tall team.
Yeah.
You could even play Dwight Howard at power forward if you want. Anthony Davis at small forward.
Five big guys.
And they could that's actually just Houston. Overload it.
That is how you beat Houston. That's true.
Just lob it into Dwight.
Who do we think for the Lakers is their most important player?
You want to go next? I've got a name.
Oh, you got a name?
I got a name. My one, Danny Green. I'm going to tell you why Danny Green.
Yep.
Tell us.
I look at the championship run the Raptors had last year. Danny Green is one of the key guys who wins that.
Pivotal.
That whole series against the Warriors, against Philly, against Bucks.
And should we say, friend of the pod, Danny Green. He's been on the pod at least, I think, 3 times.
Wow.
For me, it's Danny Green.
Yeah.
3-point shooting for him this year has not been as good as it was for the Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
If in the playoffs he can hit over 40% of his threes, we know the defense is there. For me, if he goes and plays well, especially in Bradley's absence, that's okay.
But also him guarding Paul George, he's tall.
Yeah.
Him guarding anyone in Houston. And in terms of the Bucks, I think he actually has an advantage in that sense against Wesley Matthews, which is
insane.
Or Bledsoe's currently not playing, but if he does come back. Mm. I would have said Avery Bradley if he wasn't injured, but I think the tandem of Avery Bradley and Danny Green are great additions by the Lakers in the offseason.
Yeah.
Luke, who do you think?
Obviously, Alex Caruso wearing a headband. It's easy. Headband Caruso.
Shaved head.
Exactly. Shaved head, headband Caruso. Juiced Caruso is who's going to win it for them. Everyone remembers those doctored pictures of him looking absolutely massive in the offseason.
You joke, but he's a very big plus minus on the Lakers, especially without Bradley. It makes a huge difference.
Defensively?
Yes. So my question, my question on the Lakers, though, is... Are we going to see Deion Smith out there, or is he just along for the ride?
Deion Smith is a good way of putting it. With the 8 regular season games, everyone on the Lakers gets played lots of minutes. Mm. Lakers are going to take a cruisy because they want to see who can play that 8. Like, they need to figure out who are the 8 players. Because they need the 8. So they've got Caruso, Green, Davis, LeBron, JaVale. Then you've got.
No, they said KCP is going to start.
Then you've got KCP. Okay, fine. But I'm just saying the 8 players. And you've got KCP,
Dwight,
and Kuzma. You don't need that 9th player.
Exactly.
Realistically, they're there for the ride.
They're there for life.
Like, it doesn't matter.
They're the glue guys. They're the culture guys.
And who is the most important player on the Bucks? I chose Chris Middleton. I know it sounds ridiculous because he's an all-star. He's their second best player on the team. But, like, he needs to show up. He was... The Bucks outscore opponents by 5.2 points per game when Giannis is on the bench and Middleton is in.
Wow.
He's averaging his highest points per game and his best field goal percentage. Last year in the playoffs, he averaged 5 points less per game. Bledsoe was non-existent. Obviously, the argument is Bledsoe is their most important player because if he shows up, they're a really sturdy team. But I think for me, Chris Middleton has to be more of an impact player. Mm. If their second guy isn't there, like, they're cooked.
So I was going to say Bledsoe as well, because I know he's that playoff Bledsoe, it doesn't exist, or hasn't proven it thus far.
Ouch.
Because he's sitting out, I'm going to go a little bit different. I'm actually going to say Brook Lopez.
Yeah, Brook Lopez is a big factor.
The big factor for me was, if you watch them against the Raptors last year, their first game win against the Raptors was because Brook went crazy.
Yeah, Brook went ham.
And the thing is, the way they're going to beat the Lakers, the way they're going to beat the Clippers, especially the Lakers...
The way they're going to beat Miami Heat.
Stretching the floor.
Yeah.
And if you can stretch out a McGee Howard, you kind of render them a little bit useless if they're chasing Lopez out on the perimeter.
Mm.
So for me, if Lopez hits his threes, Bucks become almost close to unstoppable.
Kyle Korver, veteran guy, hitting threes, obviously super important. He's going to come off the bench. And like, if they don't have Bledsoe, they're going to be a little bit short again on guards. So who you play there? DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo definitely starts.
He's also big. So I think one of those two guys is going to, to your point, they're all going to, apart from Giannis, he can hit 30% from three and everyone can go, wow. But like, everyone else is going to have to hit threes. So it's going to be one of those two guys. And I say Korver because he's obviously been there, done that. He's the veteran guy. That's who I would expect to do it. If DiVincenzo can do it, he's probably, you know, he's a bit younger, he's probably a better defender. Yeah. So
I think this takes me on to my next point. I think in the East, it's very clear the Bucks are the favourites. There's no really debating that. But the other team that I think could upset them, and there's been quite a bit of talk about it, they swept the Bucks in the regular season.
Mm.
They absolutely demolished them in the second game. The first game went into overtime. They held Giannis to the lowest score of 13 points in the second matchup. It's a fantastic matchup for the Bucks. It's the Miami Heat.
Mm.
Led, of course, by Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. They also added, since then, Crowder and Iguodala. Do we think that the Heat can upset the Bucks in a 7-game series? Spoelstra versus... Oh, I've just blanked on his name. Really friendly guy.
I can see him.
Budenhauser.
Budenhauser. Mike. What?
Budenhauser.
Mike Budenhauser.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It definitely is. Do we think...
Budenhauser. I can't get off it.
All right. Do we think the Heat can upset the Bucks in a 7-game series?
Okay. Well, I mean, I've spoken enough times I think the Bucks win this series. But it will depend on the guys that we've never seen in the playoffs before. How is Kendrick Nunn going to go? How is Duncan Robinson going to go?
How's Tyler Herro going to go?
That's really going to be the key, because I know Butler and Adebayo will do their job. I don't know about the other guys, and the playoffs is a whole different beast. I think playoff experience will win the Bucks the series, but I'm just saying, for me, it's the rookies. And if you're relying on the rookies, I know you got Iggy and I know you got Crowder, it's going to be the rookies.
But if Bam shuts down Giannis, this is what I'm saying. Yeah, Brook Lopez can roam and have 20 points per game, fine. But I think if Bam and Giannis are like tit for tat.
We're getting a little bit confused.
Oh, we're really struggling today. It's been a long pod. But if Bam, if Bam can contain Giannis, I think the Heat, because the Heat, last season the Heat and the 76ers had a great series because they were physical. I think the physicality of the Heat could really, really destroy the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if the Heat play the Lakers or the Clippers, they're screwed.
Oh yeah, I personally think they could beat the Bucks. I think the Bucks are a little bit, obviously, like, every team's reliant on their best players, right? But they are super, super, super reliant on Giannis. And I like Jimmy Butler. I don't know. I'm not afraid to say it, all right? And I like Bam Adebayo, and I think Eric Spoelstra is a really good coach.
Coach.
But, yeah.
It's my turn.
He's the coach of the Zubitches.
He's the best coach of the year.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing as well. I think that the plans will be very different. I think the depth of... the Heat without Eric, if Eric Bledsoe doesn't come back, I think that's a huge advantage to the Heat. So I'm excited. That's the series that I'm most looking forward to, besides, like, in the East. Everything else, who cares? I don't think Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum are going to lead the Celtics to a win.
Who the hell
knows? Clip it and ship it.
Clip it and ship it, indeed. All right. Now, Nikola Jokic has lost like 50 pounds, which is like, what, 100 kilos? He looks like a Skeletor at the moment. He's very, very skinny. Is this good or bad for Nikolai?
You know what? I've got to wait and see. I'm not going to tell you yes.
I like that pun there. Wait and see.
Wait on it.
Yeah.
No, honestly, I don't know. Well, let's find out. Like, yeah. I mean, there are some, as you're going to say, there are pros and cons for this kind of new regime. I would love to see him come against a McGee or a Dwight and see how he kind of battles in the post when he's a bit lighter weight. But can he get up and down the court a bit more? Will he get as much playoff fatigue like he did last year against Portland, where game 7, to be honest, he was missing?
That's because he's probably tired.
And will this help? Probably. I think overall it's probably a positive, but I'm going to wait and see.
Luke, what do you think?
I mean, I think he's going to play like a bit more point center probably. He's like, obviously he passes a lot. I don't think he's going to be getting down the post. I think they'll let Millsap do that. So I think it's a good thing. I mean, I'm pro body image. He can, you know, be as big or as small as he likes. He's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think him losing weight is positive in the style of play that Denver wants to play, with him kicking it out quickly and being able to pass first. I think if you look at the matchups, JaVale McGee is a perfect example. Like, he still matches up fine against JaVale McGee. He's not like, JaVale's not like a big unit.
Mm.
Gobert, fine. Mm. Porzingis, fine. Even Anthony Davis to an extent, fine.
Nurkic will bully him.
Nurkic will bully him, Embiid will bully him, Bam will bully him. Dwight Howard to an extent will bully him. If Montrezl Harrell was here, he would bully him. But if you look at the majority of the centers, he's actually okay in that sense. And in terms of like how the Denver Nuggets want to play, I think it suits it a lot better.
I don't think it matters. To your point, if Embiid would have bullied him before, I think. Like, I don't think that makes any difference, right? Okay. So
yeah.
Hopefully he's a bit more limber now.
Yeah, exactly. And my final question for you. Who do we like more, Boban and Luka or Boban and Tobias Harris?
Easy. Boban and Tobias Harris.
Have you seen the Luka and Boban video?
It's videos? Cute, but it's not,
but it's like that, not even close. Not even
it's like the European...
And Tobias, I know they got the European thing going, but I'm sorry. Like Boban and Tobias is like, it's an odd couple, but they keep getting traded together.
Yeah.
They had the whole thing.
Journey.
It's nice. Yeah. I'm a Boban and Tobias man.
I think it's unlikely that Luka and Boban get traded together, realistically. Unless Mark Cuban's just like, I give up on the NBA. Yes. I don't know. I saw like Boban lifting up Luka to do a dunk.
Yeah, you gotta remember that. I think Boban took Tobias to the John Wick 3 premiere.
Yeah, he did.
So, like, that's much cuter.
Look, I'm probably a Boban and Tobias fan, but it's early days. True. I feel like in the bubble,
it's a blossoming new romance.
Who knows? Who knows what could happen?
Right. Before we wrap up, just wanted to. I'm gonna throw something out there.
Please.
I know, we're going off script here.
As long as it's in the bubble confines and it's not ping pong with two players, it's fine.
Out of Denver, Dallas, Houston, and Utah, which of the four is most likely to have a first round match up? Upset.
Oh, upset?
Loss?
Upset.
Wait, sorry.
Upset. Loss?
No, wait, they're gonna, like, they'll upset the team.
Should we start again?
So you're saying they could win or lose, but you think it would be an upset? Does that make sense?
Correct.
Okay. This is kind of a confusing question.
This is a silly question.
Which
of these four teams will win their first round?
No one's talking about these four teams still.
Okay, the media won't talk about this. The mainstream media will not talk about this.
That is true. So who will win? So two of these teams will win. This is
okay.
Are you trying to ask us which of these four teams is the best?
Basically. Correct.
Oh my! Why did you not just say that?
Because I wanted you to figure out what I was trying to say.
Okay, we're there now. The listeners are now as confused.
This is bonus content. Everyone's
just tuned out. They're like, "Is that English?" Whatever.
Because I was realizing no one's been talking about these four teams.
So we've got Denver, Utah, Houston, and
Dallas.
Dallas. I think Houston. I think the small ball will be surprisingly good, and I think in terms of pure talent, they've got the best team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they have the best players, if that makes sense. Mm. I don't think they have the same depth as the Nuggets or the Jazz, probably, but I don't see the Jazz. I mean, unless Donovan Mitchell goes crazy, and also there's a whole Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert coronavirus thing.
Yeah.
How big's that?
Bogdanovich either.
Yeah, Bogdanovich is a huge loss. Mike Conley as well has been not great.
Very disappointing.
I think we're sleeping on the Jazz, but I think we're right to sleep on the Jazz. So I would say straight up, Jazz is out of this equation. It's now Denver, Houston, and Dallas.
Dallas, I feel, is too raw.
They're too raw, and Porzingis just hasn't shown up this season. And unless Luka is out.
Yes.
Yeah.
For the most part.
So remove Dallas then. So then you got Houston or Denver.
I
mean, you're going Houston. You've said...
Well, I just haven't been that impressed by Denver this season. And maybe because I haven't watched enough games. But they haven't looked as good as they did last season. Last season, I watched them. And I was like, even with that series against Portland, I was like, they're a good team. Whereas this season, I'm like, maybe I'm sleeping on them. But I don't think they're as good.
I could see them doing something. I mean, this is a team that made it to
the second round. Okay, see, I don't think it's really doing... I mean, I think it's good. I don't think it's doing something. When you've got guys like...
at least second round.
Oh, yeah. But when you've got guys that are getting paid big dollars and you've got Jokic, who is like a first-team All-NBA guy, I don't think second round is... I know it's the West, I know it's tough, but it's not big, right?
Yeah. Is he first-team All-NBA this season?
Not this season.
But this
last
season.
Year.
Yeah, last year off was.
That, my point is that they should expect to get to the second round of the playoffs. Mm,
that's
right?
True.
So who do I think would go the furthest and be the most surprising? Yeah, Rockets. Because I think people expect them to kind of either go out or win the thing. It's not going to be... I don't see them getting to the second round and being like, oh, okay.
I still think with the Rockets, they're going to be cooked by the second round. Realistically, by the time they get the second round, PJ Tucker, who's not even jumping for them, like James Harden is. PJ Tucker's 6'5", Robert Covington's 6'7".
Yep.
You look at the rest of the teams in the West, like, they're screwed. They're going to be so tired physically by that point. Especially if their first round, which is likely, will be a 6 or 7 game series. Which it will be if they're matching up against a Dallas or even a Utah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just...
Or they'll shock us.
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. It'll go one or two ways.
Yeah. It'll be nothing in between.
What he's done is he's gone, here all are my chips. Yeah. I've put them all in and it's all on Robert Covington.
Think he'll come back next season, Antoni?
No. I think if they don't make it to the third, the conference finals.
Oh, I don't know about conference. I reckon if they make it to the second round.
Second round is nothing.
It's nothing, dude.
It's nothing for them.
It's nothing season. You didn't go out.
They've been in the conference finals, the last 2 years? 3 years?
No,
well, not last year. Last
year was second round.
Last year was whatever. Who knows what happened. But I really don't think he comes back. I think it'll be interesting, guys.
Sorry, Mike.
I'm really excited. We've got 2 weeks till the NBA comes back and then we can speak about actual content and all this 4 months of absolute
Hey, it's been a good 4 months. We had the Jamal Harris thing.
We've had much...
Jamal Murray?
Oh,
you're really blending your players today.
Deion Smith.
Jamal Harris. Yeah, that's what we had that. Obviously, we haven't even talked about James Harden wearing the Punisher face mask the Blue Lives Matter mask.
He
didn't even know what it means. He just thought it looked cool.
He also lost a lot of weight as well.
Yeah, and he's got hair, full long hair now.
It's crazy.
It's all different.
He's got braids.
This is a different NBA.
I feel uncomfortable. They're all fishing as well. And they've planted fish in Disney World. Also, do you know that Disney World is open to the public?
Yes.
What a ridiculous thought.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean,
how's
that
a bubble then?
I don't know.
Well, it's they're not with them. I don't know how.
They're separate. There's 100 meter between them. So if they spit really far, you can catch it.
It's like a Berlin Wall style thing. You know, it's just a dead man's zone in the middle.
So if I got binoculars out, you may be able to see
something.
Yeah,
you can see LeBron in his balcony. I saw Jordan Clarkson shotgunning a beer on Instagram the other day.
JJ Redick. If you look really close, you can see J.R. Smith complaining about the food. It's great.
Or throwing soup at an assistant coach.
Have you guys seen the Boban interview? He's like, what do you think of the bubble? I love the food. The bed better than my bed. I slept 12 hours and everyone else is like, this is terrible. He's like, I'm from Eastern Europe. Exactly. This is the best it gets.
These players don't know.
They don't know how bad it gets.
Imagine being 7'4 and probably your knees are off the bed.
Yeah.
He's diagonally.
I think him, Luka, and Nikola Jokic is like, this is the best. And Paul Zingas is like, this is the best accommodation I've ever been in. poor Eastern Europe. They try.
Yeah, one just day. Keep up with the great bubble content that keeps coming out.
Yeah, guys, 2 weeks. Our next pod, well, I don't know when it's going to be, but hopefully...
2 weeks?
I mean, I might not be here, but I'll leave it to you. The NBA will start. I know I will be tuning in pretty much for every single game. I even took work off on the Friday. I'm not working that Friday so that I can watch Utah and Pelicans, which everyone wanted to see.
Harry's
and
boss.
And Lakers Clippers.
I'm sorry.
I've told him. He's very aware.
He knows. Yeah, Harry does have a job. Isn't that great? The host of this podcast, all are employed.
It's a good time. No job seeker for us for now anyway. Maybe in 2 weeks it'll be different.
Touch wood.
But guys, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back in 2 weeks with prime NBA action. And we'll have at least 5 games have been played.
Wow.
And hopefully at least 10 more players with COVID. Inshallah. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.